Graham talks Pats. Patriots season after the Super Bowl was going to end regardless. And it ended in the way I expected, to be honest with you, based on the way the playoffs went. They just have continuously shown a complete and total inability to move the football. And that continued in the Super Bowl. It's a little bit weird, right? Because on one hand, some of the stats, like Drake May's stats actually don't look terrible in the game. Like 295 yards is a fair, that's not bad. All that production came in the fourth quarter. 78 yards of offense, of total offense in the first three quarters. They were dismal. They could not move the ball. But you look at it, you say Drake May, it was an all-out assault on Drake May. Will Campbell was horrific. Allowed the most pressures of any offensive lineman all season. I haven't seen any stats about it being the most in Super Bowl history, but I'm sure if it's not number one, it's very close to up there. The running game couldn't get really could not get going at all. They completely went away from the Thayer Munford extra offensive lineman out there as a jumbo tight end, which was super weird to me because they only ran out of that formation once. And it was a decent completion of Kayshon Boutte. So I don't really know what the logic was behind that. I will say just in general, looking at what New England opted to do, I think what would have been a little bit smarter would have been, obviously it's easy to say, but using Thayer Munford a little bit more, just to say, hey, Seattle, you've got a really good defensive line, but when we've got six offensive linemen on the field, plus potentially a fullback or tight ends, you just as a in terms of just man advantage, we're going to be able to beat you up on the line of scrimmage. And then you go into a play action with an extra offensive lineman, which clearly would have been necessary because Drake May had no time to throw the ball anyway. I was also a little bit surprised that the Patriots at no point decided to try to trick play. They did it against the Chargers with Efton Chisholm. They did it against Miami in one of the last games of the year on a pass to Efton Chisholm on a flea flicker. So I am a little bit surprised that they never opted to do anything along those lines. You had a little bit of hope in there for a second with the Matt Collins touchdown, but it really did feel like once that third field goal went through for Seattle, that the game was over. Yeah, it was tough. I don't know. It's a little bit of a tough situation, I think. I just don't think, this team was probably ready to be in a position where they were in the Super Bowl. Not because of a lack of star power. I think their defense is unbelievable. Their defense really came up huge again, allowing just 22 points. And then obviously the Derek Hall strip sack / interception. Offensively, you've got Drake May, who, very, very elite, one of the best quarterbacks in the game. But beyond him, Stephon Diggs, is he really that inspiring at this point in his career? Like, yes, he was a lot better than what New England's had over the past couple of years, but there's a reality he's not even on the team next year, or I guess this year. Hunter Henry, I like him. Very productive this season. I thought he went ghost in the playoffs a little bit, not to say that anyone else showed up really instead of him. I thought Kayshon Boutte obviously showed up for those first two games, had, I think, 141 yards combined across the first two playoff games, but he also kind of fell off. They didn't get any, real production out of anyone down the stretch. Matt Collins had 78 yards and a touchdown in the Super Bowl, but, like, you look at it, it's not that inspiring. Ramondre, he's definitely had a resurgence in the second half of the year, but still pretty disappointing, I'd say. Just as far as the whole season went, I don't think Ramondre, despite his end of season resurgence, I don't think overall as a season, it's a season he'll look back on and be like, wow, like, what a great season I had. I'm going to pull up his exact stats right now, but his final stats, 603 yards all year, which is actually better than I thought it would be, to be fair, but that's might be, it's, I'd assume it's definitely his career low since his rookie year. His career low overall. So he had a career low in rushing yards. His yards per attempt definitely took a bounce back though, better than the last 2 years. You know, obviously had a nice year catching the ball too. So that was a little bit refreshing to see. But overall, I don't think it's a season to look back on and say like, wow, what a year I had, right? Yeah, I mean, I've kind of, it's been a little bit since the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't think we need to. It feels weird saying I don't think we need to go too in-depth into the Super Bowl, but this is a little bit of a later episode, you know, compared to when I was planning. So this at least, you know, sets a little bit of a baseline. Yeah, I think the main takeaway from the Super Bowl was the Patriots do not have the firepower. They don't have the firepower to compete with the best teams offensively at this point, and they need to make changes offensively in order to allow themselves to do that. You know, Twitter has been a source of, you know, to not much surprise, a lot of, you know, a lot of trade rumors, a lot of cut candidates, et cetera. There's been a lot of, you know, talk about potential additions to New England. I think the first one we should probably start with is Max Crosby. Crosby to me would be super interesting. I saw something on Twitter earlier as I was preparing for the show. It was saying pick 31 and Christian Barmore for Crosby, which I would probably do. That's one of the more intriguing options to me because I think contractually, obviously there'd be some cap gymnastics in there with the dead cap and whatnot, but that sort of trade, you know, you're kind of balancing out the salaries a little bit, and then obviously you're giving up that first-round pick. I think in an ideal world, you'd have Crosby, Milton Williams, and Barmore all together. But if that isn't a possibility, then, you know, I think that's something that you, you know, something that you look into. You know, I wrote an article the other day about Mike Evans as a fit with New England, or really as a non-fit, I should say. To me, I just think when you're going to bring in a receiver like that, that's a short-term addition. I personally wouldn't have a ton of interest in bringing in a receiver that's just as old as Diggs. At this point, I think you need a younger option. And for as much of a legend as Mike Evans is, I just don't think the juice is really worth the squeeze. All these articles, by the way, I reposted on my Twitter. Graham Wilker 1, GRAHAMWILKER 1. You know, I don't know if the juice is really worth the squeeze there. I wrote some articles about some offensive linemen. Connor McGovern of the Bills. I think the added bonus with potentially looking into McGovern is that, you know, you're taking him away from the Bills, which is nice. The Bills have McGovern and David Edwards, pair of interior guys that have been really solid for them over the past couple of years. And they're both set to be free agents. So I think when you're looking at a center upgrade, I think that you definitely can do better than James Bradbury, or than Garrett Bradbury, rather. I'd just say in general, part of me is just like, all right, I want to get Tyler Linderbaum, right? But every other team in the league is going to want Tyler Linderbaum. I'd imagine both Harbaugh brothers, their squads between the Giants and the Chargers are going to be heavily interested in him. But, you know, part of me is kind of like, all right, Garrett Bradbury, is he the best? Probably not, but he was really not bad this year. His Super Bowl performance wasn't great. His performance against Tampa earlier in the year wasn't great. But generally speaking, I don't think he's a bad center. I think he definitely took a step up from where he was in Minnesota over the past couple of years. And then I'd also say just, like, from a, you know, if you really want to try to change things up perspective, if you are to get rid of Bradbury, is Jared Wilson just going to become a backup guard if you sign McGovern? Or are you going to, you know, move Jared Wilson to center and then see what the deal is with McGovern after? Or are you just paying McGovern to be a guard and then saying Jared Wilson slide to center McGovern, you're going to go back to your left guard spot that you were before? I'm not really sure about that. The other guy I wrote an article about was Rashid Walker. You know, I do think he'll probably hit free agency. For Green Bay, I don't think they're going to want to pay a tackle, you know, $80 million, $20 million a year. The projection, I think, at $20.3 million a year was the projection for him. To me, I look at, you know, a guy like Rashid Walker and I say, okay, what are the odds Will Campbell can be as good as Rashid Walker? And I know his playoffs weren't that good. Pretty high, I think. I don't think Rashid Walker is anything that special as a tackle. I think there's definitely merit in a team signing him. I mean, you know, I think he's a lot better than Dan Moore was. And Dan Moore got $82 million from the Titans. So to me in general, I look at it and I say, okay, if we are to, you know, sign Rashid Walker, we're putting Rashid Walker at left tackle. We're probably bumping Will Campbell inside to left guard. And then we're bumping Jared Wilson to center. And to me, I don't know. I think in the short-term future, is that a better option? Maybe. And there's an argument to say, hey, like, the short-term future really matters to New England because Drake May's on a rookie deal. But if you look at it and you say, hey, you know, like, we want to develop our players. We want to, you know, Elliot Wolf said, he's still with the organization, obviously. He said they want to be a draft and develop team. They want to draft their players. They want to develop their players. They don't want to be investing in you know, outside free agents all the time. And obviously last season was a time where you kind of had to do that, where you need to make wholesale changes. But now that you've got this baseline, you need to be able to build up from there. And I think that you have the opportunity to do that with the development of a player like Will Campbell, left tackle, where, you know, if you still believe he can become a really solid left tackle, which I do, I don't think, you know, there's any need to turn around and be like, hey, like, you know, you need to get moved into guard now, you know, not even a full year now removed from being the fourth overall pick. To me, you need Will Campbell to be playing left tackle. So, yeah, I think that should be the priority. Right now is just continuing to work with Will Campbell. If you want to upgrade the offensive line, I would say upgrade that left guard spot / center spot. And what I mean by that is saying, okay, Tyler Linderbaum, sign him to be your center. What I think is a better option is bumping Jared Wilson inside to center. I think you kind of have some insurance across the interior with Ben Brown, who's proven he can be a solid spot starter. And then signing a Joel Bitonio, a Wyatt Teller, Elton Jenkins. I think there's a real shot he gets cut. If Elton Jenkins gets cut, that would be a really, like, a top, you know, target. Wrote an article about him and Rashawn Gary being potential additions in New England. To me, that's has such value. I think the flexibility of a guard to be a really, you know, a really good guard with the flexibility to play tackle is a lot of value. You look at it, I think Mike Onwenu is not a left tackle, but if something were to happen with Morgan Moses and they say, hey, you know, we don't have enough trust in Marcus Bryant or Vidarian Lowe leaves in free agency, and you have that option to say, hey, Ben Brown, long term, if it's a long term injury, Mike, you're gonna slide out to right tackle. Ben Brown's gonna play right guard for us, and I think you feel pretty good about that. So I think that's definitely you know, something to consider. Who else? There was a mock draft that had Caden Proctor go to New England. You know, my thing with Proctor that I think is super interesting is what I've heard, and I'm not an offensive line expert by any means, but from what I've heard, he's a massive human. He's like 6'7", 370. Now, the issue with him is I don't know how strong he is, which seems a little bit backwards, I'll admit. You know, being a guy who's that physically imposing, it feels like there's no way they can't be strong. But apparently the strength is a legitimate concern. The functional strength of Caden Proctor is a concern. To me, you say, you've got the size to be a really, really good offensive lineman. If we bring you in, we could potentially, you know, but one thing I think that would be a really just a good fix to the offensive line is, I talked about him a second ago with Elton Jenkins. If Elton Jenkins is to get cut, you sign Elton Jenkins and draft Caden Proctor. And then you say, Elton Jenkins, you're going to start at left guard in our offensive line, and we're going to release Jarrett Bradbury. Our offensive line left to right is going to be Will Campbell. It's going to be Elton Jenkins. It's going to be Jared Wilson. It's going to be Mike Onwenu. It's going to be Morgan Moses. And then on top of that, you have Caden Proctor in there, and he says, okay, you know, we can put him in for Morgan Moses at the end of the 2026 season and have the long-term bookend to Will Campbell. Or alternatively, if you say, we're not so sure about this guy, you've got the flexibility in Mike Onwenu to go play tackle, and Caden Proctor can play guard. So to me, and if you want to look really in the short term, with the amount they like to use, if they are Munford or Kyrus Tonga even, as that sort of jumbo fullback, jumbo extra tight end, Caden Proctor's a fantastic athlete. We've seen what he can do in the running game, as crazy as that sounds, as a rusher for Alabama. You know, that's the sort of guy that you look at and you say, hey, like, that would be, you know, a really interesting addition to the offense and a really interesting wrinkle in there. And it would be a long-term upgrade. To me, I think it's probably Proctor who's going to be the Patriots' first-round pick, or it'll be Caleb Lomu from Utah. And the reason I say one of those two is that in each of Vrabel's last six drafts, he's had seven as a head coach. In each of his last six drafts, in the top 100, he selected an offensive lineman every single time. And all six times, they were a collegiate tackle. And three of those six tackles moved into guard. Tackle, from everything I'm seeing, is a longer-term need in Morgan Moses, but it isn't an immediate need should you, you know, move Jared Wilson to center, right? Guard is a more immediate need in that case. To me, regardless, tackle or guard, you take a guy with tackle experience and guard upside who's a good athlete, in the case of Proctor, especially guys with the size of Proctor, you know, because you look at it, you know, Jared Wilson's probably 300 pounds. You've got Mike Onwenu on the other side, who's 350 pounds. You say, okay, Jared Wilson's definitely a more traditional center, or it's a more zone run scheme. And if you want to run that zone run scheme, that's fine. But if you're going to run that, you can't then, you know, you can't then turn around and bank on a, you know, 350-pound lineman to be able to do the same things a 300-pound lineman can do. Now, based on, I'm not sure, like I said, I'm not an offensive line expert, but like I said, I'm not sure if it was more of a scheme issue with Jared Wilson or if it was more of a just ability issue, or that move to guard, maybe the transition to the NFL. I think he's a younger prospect. If I'm not mistaken, I'm going to look him up now. Age might have been a little bit of a challenge for him. Yeah, I mean, he's a 2003 birth year. So he would have been a 21-year-old coming out of the draft. You know, I just feel like regardless, you probably want a bigger guard. And it seems like historically those are the sort of guys that Josh McDaniels' offense gravitates towards. I think some of the better offensive lines in the league, you look at the Eagles, for example, have these bigger offensive linemen, and it's less about agility and it's more about, hey, when, you know, the going gets tough, can we run behind you? And the answer for the Eagles is yes. So to me, you just keep building that wall in front of Drake May, and Proctor to me is one of the more appealing sort of pieces there. Minkah Fitzpatrick's been another guy that's been somewhat that's been talked about a little bit. So if you guys don't remember, Minkah, obviously drafted by Miami many years ago, the year before B-Flo got there. I'm trying to think when that would have been. That would have been maybe 2018? Let me take a look. Fact check myself here. He was 2018, yeah. So he was, I think he was pick number 18, I want to say. 11, okay. He was higher than I thought. So he spent only 1 year in Miami, wanted out of Miami, got traded to Pittsburgh for their first-round pick, then spent a while in Pittsburgh. This past off-season, during the summer, he got traded for Jalen Ramsey, Jonnu Smith, and I think there were some picks involved too. But, you know, it was an interesting sort of short-term move for both teams is what it seemed like. And Miami definitely, now it's looking like they're looking to kind of not necessarily clear house, although they did. They're definitely looking to hit the reset button. You know, Bradley Chubb and Tyreek Hill are out, and now it looks like Minkah Fitzpatrick is going to be gone to NFL rumors, NFL RUMS on Twitter. The Dolphins are expected to release or trade Minkah Fitzpatrick. at his contract, I can't imagine he'll get traded again. To me, I just think I would have interest in him if I'm New England. I like his versatility. He can come down and play in the slot. He has deep safety ability. He can come cover tight ends, which I really like. I think the Patriots need a third safety. They need a safety addition regardless of whether Jalen Hawkins comes back or not. He's a pending free agent. So I think Minkah Fitzpatrick could be a really, really solid addition. I talked about Jalen Ramsey on Twitter and in some articles as a potentially really solid addition. Dane Belton and Jason Pinnock are two of my favorites. Dane Belton in particular seems like such a Patriot to me. But Dane Belton and Jason Pinnock to me are two guys who would make a lot of sense as that third safety. I think Minkah is probably better than Hawkins and Woodson, or at least at that level. So I don't know if it would have been a traditional third safety if he were to get signed. But that could be a really, really solid addition. Matt Akata, of NFL.com released some potential cut candidates as well. A couple QBs in there. Joe Mixon, I thought, was kind of an interesting one, not necessarily for New England. Dawson Knox, I think, is one that we've talked about potentially. But the couple guys that stood out to me as far as defensive additions would be Marlon Humphrey, Pat Queen, and I guess to a degree Legarius Sneed as well. But Denzel Ward to me is the other one that could be interesting. The Browns would save a lot of money by cutting him. I think he's a really good player, but the Browns, to me, are probably also, with a new coach, potentially a team to look at, as a squad who could say, hey, we want to hit the reset button here a little bit. I think you look at, that Deshaun Watson contract, and obviously feel a lot of remorse about that, but I just don't know how much help a 29-year-old corner can offer you. I think they could definitely get something for him in a trade. I don't think it'll be like a pure cut necessarily, whereas I think a guy like Patrick Queen could just get cut straight up. Marlon Humphrey might just get straight up cut. But Denzel Ward, if you were to try to make a deal that involved Carlton Davis getting shipped out elsewhere, Denzel Ward would be a phenomenal second corner option. I've said this before in articles and stuff, I just don't know how much focus they're going to put on the defense. I did make a mock draft a little while ago that had Emmanuel McNeil Warren in the first round going to New England, who actually looks like he's going to go even higher than that now, higher than 31. The other piece was D'Angelo Pons in the second round, who I actually also think could potentially go higher than I think I had him at. I don't know, probably at the time I had him close to 60-ish. To me in general, I just look at it and I say, hey, like, as fun as it would be to continue to add to this defense, I think the majority of where your spending is going to go this offseason is just going to go to re-signing Christian Gonzalez, and rightfully so. But he'll probably become the highest paid Patriot in history. And you're going to, have Gonzalez for the long term, which will be huge. But I think that's where the majority of Robert Kraft's cash spending is going to go, especially given how much they spent last year. I'm going to see if I can find this. There was an interesting piece I thought I wrote about this before. What's it called? Oh, yeah. So it was an interesting piece. I was looking into it for Daily Campus, previewing the Patriots offseason, right? So 2021, we all remember, that was Mac Jones' rookie year. Patriots spent a ton of money going into that offseason to try to, best prepare them to get better after a rough season, and then also to, prepare them, their rookie QB, to, be put in the best position possible. So they were first in free agency spending, and they were also first in free agency spending last year in 2025, prior to the 2025 season. 51.7% was guaranteed at signing in 2021, and the 48% was guaranteed at signing in 2025. They spent 22.8% more in total contracts in 2025 relative to 2021. So it was actually more, they actually shelled out more total money despite less guaranteed money at signing, less signing bonuses in 2025. The following year, they were very frugal with their money, despite a pretty solid offseason. So my expectation was kind of, it's going to be the same. You look at where they placed in spending, right? Since Tom Brady's departure, Patriots were 28th that season, Tom Brady's departure, to kind of reset. Then they were first the next season. That was before the Mac Jones rookie year. Then, after Mac Jones' rookie year, 30th in spending. So to offset that first place finish, it's a almost last place finish. Then 14th and 13th, kind of more in that intermediate phase, and then first in spending in 2025. So on average, since Brady's departure, it puts him in 14.5th place. It's a hard one to say, between 14 and 15, so 14.5th place. Yeah, there we go. And that's despite two first-place finishes and two last-place finishes, or two bottom-five finishes in spending. So to me, it'll definitely be closer to a bottom-five spending year than it will be a first-place spending year. Will they be 28th or 30th? Will they even technically be bottom five? Maybe not. I think with the Christian Gonzalez contract, they might actually, their numbers might actually look pretty high. They might actually end up being like a, you know, one of these teams that spends in the top 12, 10 in the league. But more likely, I think, is the sort of, as far as outside free agents go, I don't think you're going to see a ton of additions. I think you maybe see a couple interesting budget guys. I've talked about it. Dane Belton adding a safety, I think, could make a lot of sense. And then I think adding a veteran guard. I think an Elgton Jenkins, if he gets released, one of the Browns guys, Wyatt Teller, Joel Bitonio, could make a lot of sense. A Kevin Zeitler is that sort of player. I don't even actually know if Kevin Zeitler is a free agent. I remember seeing a lot of stuff about him. I might be totally wrong on this. Kevin Zeitler, free agent. Okay, yeah, so Kevin Zeitler is 36, but he's still going to be a free agent at the end of or he's going to be a free agent in about a month. So, yeah, I think you probably look at it and say, you know, we're probably going to add a veteran guard. You're going to try to bring a lot of people back. I don't think Chaisson will be one of them. I talked about that. I think maybe you try to bring in a David Ajabo. I mentioned him as a potential guy. If you like the guy in the sort of Chaisson mold where it's, hey, former top 40, top 50 player, first round player who hasn't really been able to put it all together at the next level but has shown a lot of talent, and you think you can, you know, the juice is worth the squeeze with a player like that, and you can, you know, land a really solid player, I think that could be an interesting addition. But yeah, I think for the most part, look at guys like Darren Munford, Kyrus Tonga, Jack Gibbons. Those are the sort of guys I think are just going to come back. I think other than that, you're going to probably, you potentially try to cut costs. Anthony Jennings, do you think you can do better than him as a backup edge guy relative to his price? I think he's a solid player, but I don't think Vrabel particularly likes the Jelani Tavai, Anthony Jennings sort of mold of player when he has the opportunity to bring in his own guys. I think during this season he liked them because he says, hey, when the going got tough, when Harold Landry was hurt, you know, we were able to get Anthony Jennings in there. He could set a hard edge. You know, he's very good in run force, even though he's a minus pass rusher on the edge. You know, I think bringing back a guy like Theron Munford, Kyrus Tonga, those make sense to, you know, bolster the trenches in either direction. Jack Gibbons, I think he likes as a rotational linebacker. Vidarian Lowe, I think maybe the hype on him has died down a little bit. I think you could bring him back to be your swing tackle. I think Jalen Hawkins, Kalyvon Chaisson will be a lot more expensive. Hawkins, I have in the $7 to $9 million range. That wouldn't surprise me at all if that's his market. Chaisson, I said 10 to 12. Other people have him closer to like 17. I don't know who in their right mind would pay Chaisson $17 million, but they want to do that. I would let him walk 10 times out of 10. Hawkins for that $7 million range in particular, if you were to get him on like 2 and 15, you know, I wouldn't mind that at all. Give him a deal like that. Maybe you draft a safety in the third round. You know, just continue to bolster that defensive backfield. I like that. Dane Belton, I've mentioned, I you know, Jason Pinnock. I love those sort of guys. Najee Harris, I think, could be a really interesting signing. It's another guy I mentioned in a couple articles now as a guy. If you want to add that third running back, if you want to cut Antonio Gibson, cut costs a little bit, you bring in Najee Harris, you say you ran for 1,000 yards, four out of your first 4 years, then you get hurt with the Chargers. You know, come here, rehab, you know, see what you can do, you know, as a change of pace back, you know, offering some power with Ramondre and Trevion Henderson. You know, I think, yeah, but I think in general, I think the main thing you're going to see in pure free agency is going to be a Joel Bitonio, a guard, and Elgton Jenkins, one of those sort of guys, an offensive lineman, adding, particularly on that interior, adding a guard, maybe adding a third running back potentially, even though I think you could probably look at the draft for that. And then other than that, I think you're going to be bringing back your own guys. Trade might be a little bit different. A.J. Brown, George Pickens, Max Crosby. I think if one of those guys are available, maybe you're looking into that a little bit more because you don't have to give them a new contract. Sometimes you save a little bit of money in that first year with a trade. So, you know, one of those guys could be interesting. Pickens is, you know, going to get franchise tagged, it looks like. But if the Patriots want to give up their second-round pick and bring in George Pickens, I won't mind that. You know, we'll see if the Bengals have to use the franchise tag on Henderson that apparently hasn't, or Trey Hendrickson that hasn't been ruled out. I'd be inclined to sign Henderson. I just don't think you want to get in a bidding war where all of a sudden you're paying $40 million for Trey Hendrickson when you could make a move for Max Crosby, who's a little bit younger, better in my opinion, and, you know, given you have to give up a first round draft pick more than likely, but, that would be a guy that I'd probably have a little bit more interest in if you're going to try to solve the edge situation. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't expect a major spending year as far as outside free agents go. You know, you're going to patch up what you need. You're going to re-sign Christian Gonzalez, hopefully. Remember, my thing about Gonzalez is, do you have to sign him right now? Not necessarily. This is the Sauce Gardner year where he got his extension. To me, in general, though, I think you look at him and you say, hey, like, you know, this is a guy that, you know, is one of the best in the league. You want him on your team long-term. He wants to stay with New England long-term. He said he wanted to retire a Patriot. This is the guy that you pay sooner rather than later, so you don't have to deal with, you know, the inflation of guys saying, oh, I want, you know, best corner in the league money. And that happens, you know, three times an offseason now, it seems, where those records are just constantly changing. And, you know, I don't think that you want to, you know, put yourself in that position next offseason where all of a sudden, instead of paying $40 million because you want to, you're paying $40 million because you have to. So, yeah, I don't know. I think, in general, I think, you know, you're going to see a less lucrative spending year. We're going to do a mock draft, though. That's going to be what I do. The draft will be really, really interesting for New England, I think. It'll be more... Once free agency really gets, you know, gets going, I think we'll get a much better gauge for, you know, what everything's going to look like. As far as, we'll do seven rounds, as far as, you know, the needs and whatnot. I'm debating right now. Do I make a Crosby trade as part of this? Do I make any trades? No, we'll get... We'll start vanilla this time. We'll go. Maybe we'll make a trade in the first round. Maybe we won't. But, you know, the PFF mock draft sim. The only trouble I have with it is you can't see the players who haven't been taken yet, which I think is kind of annoying. But yeah, that's my one gripe with the PFF mock draft sim. But I do enjoy it. This is a seven rounder. We'll speed it up as it goes. It's still making its way through. Caden Proctor goes at 27. CJ Allen goes at 28. Those are the two guys I was going to take. Okay, so there's three guys on here that I'm looking at in particular. Monroe Freeling to me is probably the most interesting. Caleb Lohm was there. I think that's probably one of the more likely picks. But Monroe Freeling is on there. Brandon Cisse I think could be a really interesting pick for them. Super physical. That's the sort of guy I could definitely see them taking a look at. Akeem Mezidor would be super interesting too. I just don't like the age thing with him. He's so old. He's going to be 25, I think, by the time the season starts. And those, to me, aren't the sort of guys you take in the first round, barring them being a quarterback, maybe. Emmanuel McNeil Warren, I've said a couple times, that's the sort of guy I think I could potentially see them taking, should Jalen Hawkins leave. But I think we are probably going to take Monroe Freeling here. The thought of taking a Georgia tackle who's 6'7" is pretty appealing to me. I think in an ideal world, you have him and Will Campbell as your bookends for the next decade. Although I could trade back, to be fair. Okay. Because here's the thing. There's a lot of guys I like on the board right now. Zion Young's down here, too, who I really like. So there are a fair few players on the board right now. So maybe I could opt to trade down. The Texans want my pick. So if I were to trade it down. So I could trade the 31st pick and the 95th pick for the 38th pick and the 59th pick. So I'd be moving down 7 spots and picking up and moving from the third round to the second round. So that's a trade I'd make. I should probably consult the board. They rejected it anyway. What if I throw in one of our 6th-round picks? Ups the chances a little bit. Okay, so we're sending the 31st pick, the 95th pick, and the 211th pick to Houston for the 38th pick and the 59th pick. So Houston gets a 2nd first-rounder. Houston takes Brandon Cisse, just 3 picks after selecting C.J. Allen. Caleb Lomu goes, Akeem Mezidor, R. Mason Thomas, Omar Cooper, Keith Abney, Chris Bell. So Monroe Freeling still on the board. We get all that value. Emmanuel McNeil Warren's still here too. I would say we could trade up again, but we're not going to do all that. Monroe Freeling, though, somehow makes it to 38, which is super exciting for us here. A lot of safeties going. A little bit of a run on safeties there with A.J. Halsey, Dylan Thinneman, and Emmanuel McNeil Warren. But that's a nice addition to the squad. Getting a couple extra picks there too, which is cool. Coming up on our pick again here at 59. This is tough. So, okay, actually, I know who we're taking. Josiah Trotter. Part of me wants to take Josiah Trotter here. But we're going to take Max Clair, tight end from Ohio State. Like him a lot. I think he's the sort of guy that has that athleticism and that ability to be a really, really good second tight end for you and eventually, fill in for Hunter Henry as your tight end of the future. We have a 3rd second-round pick here because that moved down. Devin Moore, I'm not familiar with him. We could take Daryl Jackson. We could take Kyle Lewis. We could go guard Cyrus Allen. I am going to go Derek. Yeah, we'll go Derek Moore. Add to the edge. I mentioned Chaisson, I think, is probably going to leave. We're going to turn up the speed now, so we just get to our picks. But that's a sort of move I think makes sense. So Patriots have 3 second-round picks after that trade down. We take Monroe Freeling at 38. Really nice pickup for us there. Max Clair and Derek Moore. So we upgraded tackle, we upgraded the edge, and we upgraded a tight end. So now, I don't know. I think we're going to look to upgrade at corner, I think. Is that true? Yeah, all right. Let's look to upgrade at corner. Yeah, corner, maybe linebacker too. How are the best available linebackers? Davison Igbinosin from Ohio State. I've seen him play a handful of times. Kind of penalty prone from what I remember. But we'll go with him. We'll go with Davison Igbinosin. 2nd Ohio State pick. Made one of our 2 4th-round picks. The first one from Chicago. And then with that 2nd pick, Can we grab who can we take here? Max Llewellyn's a pretty productive pass rusher, isn't he? Yeah, Max Llewellyn's solid. You know what, let's keep adding to the edge. The edge was a problem. I think Derek Moore, in theory, you know, replaces Kalyvon Chaisson in a perfect world, and then Max Llewellyn maybe adds a little bit of a burst. It's a little boost. Harold Perkins is one of my favorite players in the class. I totally forgot about him. I picked 169. I think that's a steal. He was as highly rated as Travis Hunter coming out. He was one of these guys that was one of the top prospects. He's a guy I'd love to see New England try to get their hands on. Yeah, that would be awesome. Excited about him. Xavien Harris is a massive human. We can take him here in round number 6. Pick 190. I think, you know, the idea of, you know, continuing to give a, you know, a defensive staff and led by Zach Kerr now, who did such a good job with the defense this year. I'm really, really excited for him that he was able to, you know, get that job as a defensive coordinator. You know, I think continuing to give them players to work with would be ideal. And I talked about how I want to add safeties. Isaiah Makobia from SMU, we'll take him here in the 6th round, add a little bit of depth at 201. And I did also talk about how I wanted to add depth at running back. So Kalen Black from Indiana will be our pick at running back here later on. So looking at what we've got, we've got our long-term successor in the 1st round from Monroe Freeling. We still have one more pick here. We'll make a selection, then we'll go over it. What do we still need to grab? Let's take a look here. We'll grab Malik Benson. I like Malik Benson a lot from Oregon, wide receiver. So, all right, our draft. Let's take a look here. This will be the last piece here before we get going. But so first we moved the 31st pick, the 95th pick, and the 211th pick, which is a 6th rounder, for 38 and 59. So essentially we're moving back from 31 to 38. We're moving back 7 spots, and in exchange we're trading a 3rd and a 6th. The 95th pick, we're moving back 7 spots, and in exchange we get to move up from the 3rd to the 2nd round and give up one of our 6th round picks. So I do like that. Then we still, because there were so many guys on the board that we liked and we would have taken, taking Monroe Freeling at 38 is awesome. Now, I've seen him as high as, you know, at the Lions at 17. So, rightfully so, that gets an A grade from the PFF sim. I really like that move. And then with that 59th pick that we acquired from Houston, we took Max Clair, tight end out of Iowa State. Really good athlete. I like what you're seeing. I like what, you know, we've seen from him. Really good blocker, too. Will Kaczmarek, the other Ohio State tight end, could also, I think, be a really nice addition as a fullback, potentially. For New England, Max Bredesen, a Michigan guy, too. So they don't really have fullbacks on here like that. They have Eli Heinenreich, who they list as a fullback, even though he's a 200-pound slot back, not a fullback. Though I did see Chad Graff, right, a mock draft where he had Eli Heinenreich listed as a fullback, saying they love the fullback, they love this. And I'm like, that's kind of disappointing, Mr. Graff. I think you're a guy that I've read your articles for a while, and you didn't even care to look up his weight to see that he isn't an actual fullback, and that, you know, these mock draft sims just don't have a way of saying slotback, so they list him a fullback. So they should just list him a receiver like ESPN does, but that's their own deal. But Max Clair, he's your replacement for Austin Hooper, higher upside guy who can hopefully succeed Hunter Henry in that 2nd round there that you really like. Derek Moore in round 3, 11 sacks this season for Michigan, really, really productive player in the Big Ten. I think you like that a lot. Davison Ebenosin, you know, I think New England needs depth at corner, right? We've talked about it. You know, you're going to get Marcellus Dial back next year. He'll get a full off season after tearing his ACL in preseason. So he'll obviously compete. You've got Alex Austin, you've got Charles Woods. You've got a couple guys there, but none of them are great. Maybe Ebenosin can help raise that level. Then we not only do we add to the edge with Derek Moore, but we take Max Llewellyn in the 4th round as well at pick 131. You know, just trying to continue to bolster the edge. I thought the edge was a little bit disappointing this year. I think you need to, you know, I think you've got some pieces there, particularly if Chaisson leaves And then on top of that, potentially release Anthony Jennings. You've got a pair of young guys here that you've added on new four-year deals with their rookie contract to hopefully replace them. Harold Perkins in there in the fifth round, one of my favorite players, as I mentioned. A lot of injury issues. By the draft time, he won't have played a snap of football in 19 months. But he is, you know, really highly recruited player coming out of high school. He was the fifth player in his class, maybe as high as that. Top 10 for sure. Maybe sixth. Very, very highly touted, though. Xavier Harris, a monster of a human being. Can probably still add more weight. He's 6'8", 330 or something like that. He's giant. But if Kyrus Tonga leaves or if Kyrus Tonga stays and you just say, hey, we want to continue to add, you know, monsters to this defensive front, Harris is your guy. Talked about it earlier in the show, Isaiah Nwokobia from SMU. The sort of guy you look at and you say, hey, you know, we need safety depth. Can you offer that to us? We'll see. Kalen Black as a third running back. You know, especially if you are to release Antonio Gibson coming off that ACL tear with that bigger contract for an RB3. They kind of paid him to be their RB2 under Jerod Mayo. When he was that, I think he's a really, really solid RB3, but I just think he's a little expensive for what he is. And then Malik Benson in there as a seventh-round pick. Super, super fast. Really good return man, too. I was a phenomenal return man that I recently found out about. Wide receiver. Let me find this guy's name. He was a really, really solid player from what I saw. Let's take a look here. Let's see the return stats. And out of the return stats here, as a receiver maybe. Let me find this. Didn't have Caden Wetchen is his name. Only 20 catches this year, 151 yards, one touchdown. As a return man, though, he has 197 career receiving yards. Took 15 carries this year, though. I'm not really sure what his role is. Because 15 carries for 79 yards is almost like a running back. And at 5'9", almost 200 pounds, he probably could, you know, play in that sort of role. But as a return man, I mean, it's 6 career touchdowns off kickoffs and punts. He's got 3 off punts this year off just 21 punt returns, which is a really, really good ratio. Yeah, he's pretty impressive. So that's another guy maybe. I don't even know if they have him in the simulator. We'll see. I'll check right now. Open up another tab here. But that's the sort of guy I could definitely see them looking at. Cash Jones is another guy where stats don't really tell the full story with him. They do have him in the simulator. Is Cash Jones in the simulator? I'm curious now. Yeah, Cash Jones all the way down to 418. Player 418. He's another guy that I think has really solid special teams potential. Really good blocker for a running back, too. Probably an undrafted guy, but one of those guys you look at and you say, hey, this, you know, maybe there's something there. So, yeah, I think that's an exciting sort of player to look at. But, yeah. Well, hopefully, I'm still debating if this is going to be a twice-a-week show or exactly what it's going to look like. You know, we'll continue to talk about the offseason plans a little bit. The issue is I don't want to totally rinse it where it's just every week we're talking about, oh, you know, is Denzel Ward going to get cut? Is fill in the blank going to get cut? So maybe we'll expand this a little bit more to more than just Graham Talks Pats, more so Graham Talks NFL, at least for the next couple weeks, potentially, you know, as we sort of transition into this full offseason period. So I'm looking forward to it. New England has a chance to continue to get better. You know, it's super exciting. Keep reading my articles, you know. Graham Wilker on Fanside, Graham Wilker on Daily Campus. Follow my Twitter, Graham Wilker 1, GRAHAMWILKER1. Yeah. There we go. This has been fun. Graham Talks Pats. See you in the next one.